This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. We start a new week here as we say hi. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Of course, we head to Vegas to say hi to the dangerous duo, that being one Dustin Sweetelson, of course, the Prince, Amal Shaw. Boys, we start a new week. How are we feeling today? Amal, we'll start with you, big guy. What's up?
I'm feeling pretty good. Just excited. You know, it's amazing. This NFL, the preseason is still like crack. I mean, I sat there and watched an entire Jaguars-Dallas game like it was the AFC or NFC championship game.
God bless you. Yeah. I watched a bunch of preseason football over the weekend as well. I just took a bunch of like kind of random off-the-wall notes, and I'll just throw them at you guys coming up here in just a little bit, and we'll kind of try to suss through what we've seen thus far in the preseason. Good to have football back as we say hi to the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson. What's cracking?
You know, things were going great today. I was having a great little morning, and then I opted to eat pineapple for lunch, and I don't know if this happens to you guys, but whenever I eat pineapple, it cuts the inside of my mouth, my tongue, my lips, under my tongue, like everywhere, the inside of my cheeks. It's all like chewed up just because I ate pineapple, but I love pineapple, so I guess it's kind of the risk I have to take.
Well, Godspeed. And
playing through
it. I hope it turns out for you okay. It feels like a little bit of a flex that you're being healthy. Is that what we're kind of trying to accomplish there with the cut pineapple?
I'm always being healthy until I decide to not be healthy.
I thought he was trying to say he doesn't actually cut the exterior of the pineapple off.
just take a bite out of a pineapple?
Exactly. Yeah. Like my boy in college reach for an onion and just eat it like an apple.
Stop.
And it didn't matter if it was red, if it was sweet, if it was white, he would just eat onions, and it just absolutely obliterated me. Okay, let me set this up. Peter Burns is going to join us coming up in about 28 minutes. SEC Network host does a great job. Talk a little SEC football. Johnny Avello, the great DraftKings director of race and sportsbook operations, is going to join us here on Sharp Money to discuss some survivor pools and some really good opportunities to get into over at DraftKings. Ted Wynn is going to join us, the Athletic NFL writer. You've seen him on social for a long time. He does a great job. And Aaron Halterman, Racing Dudes, part of the family here, is going to join us as well. So look forward to that. We continue. I got my text last night. Good job, Amal and Dustin Sweetelson. We continue with our four pack for each show until college football starts, and we're trying to theme it out each time. This one, maybe you can guess. We're going Central Michigan, fire up Chippewas. We're going Auburn, Stanford, and Cal. This was your decision, Amal Shaw. What do the four of them have in common?
Number one overall picks in the draft. There were obviously other teams that have had more recent number one overall picks, but we've already touched upon them. Oklahoma, USC, some of the other programs. But Eric Fisher out of Central Michigan, Jared Goff from California, Stanford with Andrew Luck, and then, of course, Auburn with Cam Newton. So you got to go back almost a little bit of a decade, but I just thought maybe some interesting opportunities. I was hoping we'd get down to Louisiana Tech with Terry Bradshaw, but we didn't have to go that far back.
I like that one. All right, but unfortunately, and we won't take a ton of time with this, but we have to start here, boys. And oftentimes in life, we can be about ourselves. We can be in total denial. Like, we don't see our flaws. We don't see our ineptitudes as others can. And the perfect example of that would be James Harden. James Harden is 33. He's well past his prime. He's an ISO player that no longer can isolate like he used to. He did lead the league last year in assists because his ability to create went down. Although a very talented basketball player, if you missed it, 2 days after it was reported that the 76ers ended trade talks with James Harden and potentially trying to move on from him. Daryl Morey is a liar, was the quote, and I will never be part of an organization that he's a part of. Harden said this during an Adidas media event in China. He said, quote, let me say it again. Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be a part of an organization that he's a part of. So this is a quote from Harden over at a camp in China. The NBA is in bed with China. We know it. That's a political conversation we can't get into. But here's what we do know. He is deranged. He is so deluded at this point. So let's go through the timeline, Amal, and then I'd like to get your take. Okay, so the Clippers are the desired destination, but here's what happened. So Harden requested a trade after he agreed to pick up the 35.6 player option in June. He's pissed because Morey didn't offer him a long-term max deal. Why would Daryl Morey? Now he's trying to force his way out of his third team. Remember, he got fat and went to the strip club in Houston, and then he went to Brooklyn, and he forced his way out of Brooklyn. Now he's in Philly, and he's trying to force his way out of Philly. Why would you sign this dude? When the rumors that Houston wanted to reacquire him with a young team, one of the youngest teams in basketball, it makes no sense logically. The Bulls were rumored, but they're not going to give up DeMar DeRozan or anybody for James Harden. And if you're a contender, why would you ruin the chemistry by bringing the 33-year-old aging Harden onto your team? He is in no man's land, and now he's bringing himself back in the discussion. The only boring part about this is I wish it was March if we had to discuss Harden and not August 14th when football's around the corner, Amal.
You're absolutely right, but I thought your third statement was absolutely the thing that summarizes this whole situation, which is you don't want to disrupt the chemistry on your team presently as it's situated. His talent no longer supersedes the baggage that comes with it, so I don't think you can bring him on. At this point in time, if you're Daryl Morey, you only make a move that's best for the Philadelphia 76ers. You're not going to acquiesce to him. Patrick, to me, at this point in time, this guy is the anti-Kevin Willis and Vince Carter. Those are two guys that hung around into their 40s because they were great teammates and great guys to have on your team. This guy's going to be out of a job in the league in 24, 25, the way he continues. You're only going to tolerate talent for so long, but if it's not overwhelming talent, you're not going to put up with it, and that's where James Harden is headed.
Yep, won the MVP in 18. Again, as I mentioned, he's trying to force his way, Dustin Sweetelson, off his third team in 3 years. What's also interesting, why you always have to keep your enemies close, Morey, who's done nothing but help this dude out around every corner, is now all of a sudden enemy number one for James Harden because he's not getting what he wants. He is the poster child for delusion.
James Harden could have gotten what he wanted simply by not opting into a contract that paid him more money. Like, to me, this is like the big black eye on Adam Silver's reign over the NBA, is the way the players have just decided that they can do whatever they want, however they want. Like, the point of the player opted in his contract was not so that he can opt in and request a trade. It was to show that he wanted to stay within that organization, which is why they put it in there to begin with. I just think this is a gross example of what the NBA has become between him, between Damian Lillard, between whoever the next star is who doesn't want to play wherever they're contractually obligated to be. This is the bigger issue for me. We don't have another CBA until 2030, so we're going to have to deal with this version of the NBA where players opt in to grab the money and then say they don't want to be there at the place that gave them all of that money.
You know, Patrick, Harden's already made his money. He's had a great career. He's won an MVP, all those things. There's nothing worse at this point in time in your career than not being able to play. And I would go full Al Davis on Marcus Allen here if I'm with whoever is the team that's going to be controlling James Harden if he doesn't get traded from Philadelphia or if he goes elsewhere and he blows up. To me, you just sit there and say, you know what? You tell the head coach, if he plays a single minute, you're not going to be out of a job. We're just going to suspend you for contract detrimental to the team. It is so ridiculous in these situations where they're being held hostage by the players. At some point in time, somebody's got to draw a line in the sand. I love what the Blazers have done with Damian Lillard. Look, Miami's not offering us a deal that's best for this franchise going forward. We're not going to make that move. Maybe some point in time they do, but at this point they haven't yet.
Yep, well put by the both of you. Quote, Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be part of an organization that he's part of. Let me say it again. This is in China, Harden. Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be part of an organization that he's a part of. Now, he's there for Adidas to do a camp. Just to give you an idea of the character of the dude. He used the camp in China for Adidas to platform and get his message and hatred for Daryl Morey out there into the zeitgeist. That is, if you're the Clippers, and by the way, I've got the odds right now. Is this DK, Dustin Sweetelson?
Yes,
we've got odds for his next team. Good job, DraftKings, offering a menu here. I'm sure it'll be limited, but an opportunity to take a stab if you'd like. The Clippers right now, your favorites at minus 280. The 76ers, 3.5 to 1 to hold on. The Knicks are 6 to 1. The Heat, who seem to be in the mix for everybody, are 8 to 1. The Lakers are 18 to 1. Now, big time favorites for the Clippers, and they're not going to give up any of their big three. I say the big three. I say George. I say Kawhi. And didn't you tell me earlier there's no chance they're giving up on Terrence Mann?
Yeah,
why would they?
That was the initial refusal.
Okay, that's the initial one. Here's what I would say to the both of you. if they didn't have to give up anything and he's still worth in the cap, why would you take him if you're the Clippers? He's just a lost cause. That's a sunk cost at this point as a human being and as a player. Facts.
I couldn't agree with you more. You are so right. I don't understand bringing James Harden on your team. All of a sudden, you're not like, hey, guys, we just went from the first round. Fans, start making plans for the NBA Finals because we're going to be there.
Yeah, it's just a weird situation. And I started off this little segment about Harden with the idea that, you know, oftentimes we can't see our own faults. We can't see the ineptitude that lies. And, you know, we blind ourselves with our own lies. And I think that's what he's done to this point. Like, he still believes he's Harden of 18. He's not. He believes he makes a team better. That is up to question. And if he joins somebody like the Clippers, there's two alphas in front of him. Not needed. Not necessary. I just don't see it. So, but that's a big time favorite. What do you got? 280 right there as far as DK and the Clippers, as far as where James Harden will play next season. The question is, will he sit? Now, he just said emphatically he's not going to be playing for a team that is run by Daryl Morey. Hello, he's the president of the 76ers. Have fun, Nick Nurse. Right? Why would Nick Nurse have picked this team? Go to a young team. You had your choice. You got an aging center. That's a wild card himself, although he does play his ass off in Embiid. And then you've just got this dude. You've got this mess. Why would he have picked the 76ers? I don't see it, Amal.
I have no idea. I was still trying to figure out the tie-in that you'd want to go play for Joel Embiid, who's more concerned about campaigning for an MVP than winning a title.
Yes, the celebration was bigger than the Nuggets winning a championship, that being Embiid winning the MVP. When we return, what's going on in the preseason? Random observations here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, it's Power Ratings, Picks, Previews, Predictions Pro. As in, become a VSiN Pro subscriber and get an all-access pass to our betting tools, betting splits, and the 2023 College Football and NFL Betting Guides. Both the College Football Guide and our NFL Betting Guide will have you ready to turn a profit on the gridiron this year. The only way to get the guides and everything we have to offer is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you can do exactly that at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Hope you had a nice weekend as we start anew here on Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. I heard you ask for the television to be switched, which is a good job by you, Amal, as we are officially back with the English Premier League. Man, you had to lay close to about $3.50 to win a dollar as they host the Wolves. The Wolverhampton Wolves are kind of in a bit of a limbo, a bit of a transition period, hoping not to get relegated. And man, they have some expectations this year, as they're one of the teams that's now kind of settled with a manager coming back again. So we shall see. I don't know if you bet that. The total was set at 3. You had to pay a little juice on the over. I generally will never, unless I'm going under, will touch a 3 in soccer. Unless I'm going under, but you did see that set at 3.
Yeah, no surprise there with Man United being a prohibitive favorite at Old Trafford today. And, you know, Wolverhampton the last couple of years, though, Patrick, has been one of the better under teams from a betting standpoint. It really comes down to when can they get on the score sheet here. Right now, in the 16th minute, scoreless, but if Manchester United can get a goal early on, I think this game could open up a bit.
Yeah, as you know, Dustin Sweetelson, Wolverhampton scored the second fewest goals in the EPL last year, so not exactly prolific. Your thoughts?
I believe their nickname is the Wolves, which is confusing because it's not Wolverhampton, it's Wolverhampton, so I think it's a little deceptive in the name, but no big deal.
Yeah, well played. Nice to have soccer back over the weekend. I'm sure you were fired up. Also, nice to have preseason football back over the weekend. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go back and forth. Just observations. You know, I think most of it will have to do with the quarterbacks. So why don't we get started? And I'll start here. I'll take an easy one, boys. Trey Lance. It's not great. It's not great. He looked indecisive. Now, if you just take a look at the box from Trey Lance, it looks fine. A 10 of 15, 112 and a touchdown. He had one scoring drive on 6 possessions, But this is one that I got to see the score. The Raiders beat up on the 49ers 34-7. I just thought he looked indecisive. He didn't seem like he knew when to stay in the pocket or looked a little fidgety if he was going to take off. Now, I understand it was his second unit as far as the offensive line. That didn't help because he was pressured a lot. But what we're looking for is special. If you're a top five, top two like he was pick, what you're looking for in Trey Lance is special. And I don't know if the two of you see special. It's Brock Purdy's position to lose.
There's no question about it. I think Purdy, once he gets back health-wise, he's going to be the guy. And if you're Trey Lance, really a missed opportunity, because even though Brock Purdy played particularly well in the last five games down the stretch, I still thought this was a job that they would have been willing to go with Trey Lance had he been the better quarterback or even comparable because of his physical skill set and his mobility. And right now, it looks like the San Francisco 49ers, this is going to eventually turn into their Darko Milicic.
It's not yet. That's a good comp right there. Anything on Trey, big guy?
Tigers, Lions, Panthers, Leopards, Jaguars, Bobcats. He should learn about Wildcats because that's all he's going to be in the NFL.
Well played. Now, conversely, I think he only ended up with 21 yards, but I thought the poise was there. And in a Saturday loss to the Jets, frankly, I thought Bryce Young, like, some people just look like they were meant to play the position. And if you can get past the fact that he looks tiny out there, he certainly looks poised, was making the right decisions. You know, the offensive line for the Panthers, a disaster. 15 pressures allowed and 4 sacks in the game itself. So that's a bit of a yikes situation. There's not a ton to take away from Bryce Young. But again, if we're just juxtaposing what you saw with Trey Lance, who's in year 3 of that offense, and Bryce Young, who just got there yesterday, he looks like the poised player, fellas.
You're correct on that, Patrick, but I would counter with this. Trey Lance can at least survive a hit or 12. I'm going to tell you right now, this dude is going to be NFL, not for long. He just physically, to me, does not look like he'll be able to sustain the type of hits you take over 17 weeks in the National Football League. I think if he was 6'4", 220 pounds, you would rarely say this about any player. He would be a Hall of Famer, in my opinion. He is that good in terms of talent, accuracy, and everything else you need at the quarterback position. I just don't think he's going to be able to withstand the hits. I think he's going to collapse in certain situations where other quarterbacks might be able to wiggle out of a play. I really am concerned long-term what his health viability is going to be for Carolina.
Yeah, the size didn't bother you as much in college. It's pretty glaring, big guy, yeah, in the pros.
No, I mean, it's very noticeable as soon as he runs on the field and it looks like there's a high schooler out there with a bunch of grown men. But I think this was a good thing to happen in his first game, right? To experience that, to see how much different the game speed is, because this is the first time he stepped on a football field, similar to CJ Stroud. We talked about it last week. First time on a football field where he doesn't have superior talent all the way around him, where he's able to just make plays happen. I think this was good for his first experience. I like the way he kept bouncing back and coming back out there, and I think it can only get better. The problem with the preseason, this is kind of my biggest, like, overreaching statement, is, like, I neither want to take too much or too little away from it at the same time. Do you know what I mean? I want to, like, manage the expectations of when someone does really well and when someone does really poorly. So I don't want to think that this Carolina offense is going to look really bad with a small Bryce Young back there. I also don't think that the Packers offense is going to look as dynamic as it did with Jordan Love on Friday night.
Okay, I'll give one more, then I'll let you guys jump in. The last one I have is Kyle Trask, who was blatantly inferior than Baker Mayfield. Now, they both played behind the same line. Trask in an interception and 3 sacks. Mayfield, 8 of 9 in a touchdown drive behind that line. So, again, we talked about it a little bit going into the weekend. There hasn't been a decision made down in Tampa as far as who's the starter. If we're going off preseason game one, Mayfield miles ahead of Trask.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. Sacked 3 times in that game, throws for 99 yards on 6 for 10 in terms of attempts. But Baker Mayfield's got a lot more experience, better quarterback at this stage of the game. And let's be real here. You mentioned it the other day, Patrick, about Kyle Trask. You just don't think he's going to be the guy, and I agree with you. Minus a great second half performance in the SEC championship game against Alabama, has he been kind of a bit pedestrian? He had Kadarius Toney and Kyle Pitts. Other than that, I never thought he was an overwhelming quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. Anything on Trask Mayfield down in Tampa, big guy?
Look, Trask has, like, the body of everything. Like, when you look at him in shorts, you're like, oh, yeah, that's an NFL quarterback. But There's a reason he wasn't a starting quarterback in the in college for a while. I think he only started the 1 year, right?
Yeah.
So there's a reason for that. Not to say like Mayfield is great, but like Mayfield is certainly an NFL starting caliber quarterback. He may be in the bottom tier, but he's absolutely in that mix. This team's atrocious. I don't want to watch them at all this year. Like they're just, there's no vibe. There's no fun. There's nothing about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this season where I'm going to be like, you know what? Got to make sure they're on one of my screens right now.
Exciting head coach, though. At least that they've got that going for him.
I can make a definitive statement here. Unless something controversial happens to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we will not play a single soundbite from a Todd Bowles press conference until next season.
Challenge accepted. Now we're going to play one each week just to see. Just to see. Amal, you're up. Anything as far as random observations, kind of a full weekend? The games were spaced out well. You could watch a bunch of them. What'd you see?
You know, the Bears offense looks like it'll be better just simply based on getting playmakers around the perimeter. I saw the stats of Justin Fields, and I went back and watched the highlights, and I was like, okay, I could have made those through two throws, and one of them wasn't even a good throw to Moore. He actually had to reach back to make the catch and turns it into about a 60-yard touchdown. But I think the Bears, with his mobility, they'll be a dangerous team to pay attention to. And I know Bryce Young, it's been interesting in terms of some of the reviews. I saw somewhere it said it didn't do particularly well. I saw his six throws. It was fine. It was nothing great. It was nothing poor. And it was kind of my feeling on C.J. Stroud as well. Not particularly good, but not like the end of the world. And we saw the same reaction with Victor Wembanyama in his first game. And then all of a sudden, everyone's like, yeah, in the second game, we knew he was going to be this guy. So I think you can't take much away from it. There's just a certain amount of preseason that you look at and you take it and say, hey, look, it is the preseason at the end of the day. Let's find out what happens when we go to live fire.
Yeah, Fields, three passes, 129 yards and two scores because of the yak with Herbert and Moore. DJ Moore is going to do wonders, Dustin Sweetelson. Pick up with Fields, and then you give us a random observation there for Fields.
I mean, but that, like I just said, I don't want to take too much out of the preseason, but at the same time, when you're looking for someone to take a step and it's that efficient and that smooth and that effortless, that is what you want to see at this point from a Justin Fields entering, what is it, year number three in the NFL?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want. I want it to look easy, pull him out of the game and go, all right, stay healthy until we start now. Like, that's the mindset.
Guys, if they can throw the ball and make some plays, some bubble screens, other things, and he can make some throws, you thought he was a good runner last year, seventh in the league in rushing yardage. He's not going to be that high in terms of total, but boy, is he going to be dangerous on third and seven, and the play breaks down and he goes for 35 yards.
Okay, plenty more to do. I've got more observations on the Saints. I've got Dorian Thompson Brady to discuss. Yes, we call him Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, Wolf. Plenty to come on the NFL, but next we'll transition. Go SEC, a little college football. Peter Burns, SEC Network, next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, throughout the NFL season and preseason, the VSiN experts are busy evaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide is due out later this month and will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season. Picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use VSiN betting splits and football betting contest strategies. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. It's as low as $19. Reserve your copy of the guide or take advantage of our football season special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $199. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. Okay, we're back here on a Monday, Sharp Money. We're going to welcome in Peter Burns, SEC Network, SEC Now host, does a great job, not just ESPN Radio, but you can hear him on SEC This Morning on SiriusXM Channel 374 at Peter Burns, ESPN. We say hi to Peter. Hi, Peter. How are you?
What's up, boys? It's funny. You were just doing that NFL read, and I started thinking about it going, all right, how many legit teams can win a Super Bowl this year? And I think you could say probably 8 to 10 in, what, a 32-team league. If I ask that question, because I overheard you guys during the commercial break, and thank you for not cursing my name in the commercial break. I appreciate that. how many of those teams do you think, what's that number look like when you look at college football?
Peter, I'm going with three, but real quick, I got to interject something. I object to your statement that we'd have been cursing you because I'm a huge fan of yours, Bradley, and Fishback during college hoops.
No, they're the best. They carry me every weekend. I mean, that Pat Bradley, the shooter, to have the Boston accent on an SEC channel is great. Fishback, always Arkansas. Got the information. Yeah. Like, oh, it's a blast, man. I joke around. We have a blast. In fact, today is the 9-year anniversary. We launched the SEC Network this day back in 2014. So it's a big day for us over here at the studio.
Well, why don't we, Amal, why don't you discuss what Peter overheard us talking? Then I'll get to Auburn. But go ahead and throw out your hypothetical here.
Yeah, Peter, so I think there's three teams that can win the national championship this year. One is Georgia. The schedule helps them so well. I thought if they had to play a monster non-conference early in the season, it could have hurt them. But I think Carson Beck will get better. The offensive line is going to be tremendous. The receivers are great. And then the defense will eventually get to where I think this first time where Kirby's offense will be better than his defense. And then I think Michigan's got the best team that they've had since 97. And I think Ohio State, if the quarterback play is solid, I think they've got a chance. I think in the second year, Jim Knowles' defense will be better. So those are the teams for me. A lot of question marks in Tuscaloosa at the quarterback position. I'm going to tell you right now, I get Daniels had a great year last year for LSU, but I saw a lot of this kid in Tempe. And I'm going to tell you right now, my eyes are still burning from what I saw.
Trust me. I mean, my eyes are, or my liver still burning from the amount of alcohol I drank after LSU beat Alabama last year. So I know the feeling. I'll tell you this. You can take those three teams, and I think you'd probably be a what? What do we figure? What would be the line of that if you took those three teams versus the field minus 140, minus 150?
I would go a little bit higher because I think you're going to have one of those two or potentially both Big Ten teams. And I think if you're a Georgia fan and you travel, you should look at which college football playoff game you're going to be attending. You might as well make reservations now.
Well, that's how it is now. I mean, like Georgia fans now, it's like pass or fail. Did you win a championship or did you not? I'm going to take the fielder for no other reason. You don't include Alabama in there, who I think is reloaded. You don't include LSU, who I still don't think has the depth that an Alabama or a Georgia has, but they can have a flyer, and I think there's a lot of talent. Also, how about USC and Caleb Williams and what Lincoln Riley's out there? So, and then I get the rest of the field. You know, I mean, we look at Michigan wasn't even ranked last year or, 2 years ago when they made the playoff. TCU wasn't even ranked in the AP top 25 poll, and they made the playoff. Now, mind you, they got blown out by 175 points against Georgia, but I still end up taking the field when it comes to those three teams versus everybody else.
Baton Rouge native, that's why he was drinking after LSU. And Brian Kelly beat up on Alabama. Peter Burns joins us here on Sharp Money. How about Hugh Freeze on the Plains at Auburn? The program kind of bottomed out with Harsin. Here comes Freeze. Freeze is weird, but he can coach. 8 wins or more, all 4 seasons at Liberty, Peter. The regular season win total set at 6.5. Let's just start with expectations with Freeze down at Auburn.
Well, I don't know if anybody has won the offseason, maybe more so than I would say Deion Sanders with, all the move of them going to the Big 12 and just kind of the pomp and circumstance around Deion, more so than Hugh has down in the Plains at Auburn, right? I mean, this was a team that, frankly, there hasn't been good vibes around this program for even a decade, right? And I go past even Harsin, but even when Gus Malzahn was there, it was such a roller coaster ride whether or not he was going to be back each and every year that ultimately, it fell apart. And so he's won it, if for no other reason, all of the Auburn fan base has kind of coalesced around them, and they're all headed in the right direction. That's the monster win. Now, as far as how many wins are going to have, if I had to take a side of it, I'd probably go under. He's already in the hardest division in all of college football, and that's the SEC West. And they had to add 40 players. Okay, they had to add 40 different players into that roster. I just don't think that you can have that big of an overhaul in year one and be successful. I think they could be a potential college football playoff team in a 12-team playoff in his second year. I just don't think you can flip the roster that quickly, especially if you don't have a proven commodity at quarterback.
Yeah, 6.5, the win total this year on Auburn, guys, and Peter going under on that one. Let's stay in the SEC West. I'm a big fan of the job that you look at in Arkansas in terms of the job we've seen that's been done there. I'm drawing a blank on the former Georgia defensive coach who's the head coach there.
Sam Pittman.
Oh, and he's a character too, man. Like, and Sam is one of the guys, like, if you had to have who would be the odds-on favorite that you'd want to drink beer and go a barbecue with in college football, like, he'd be, like, minus 750. Like, he's easily number one.
Well, hold on, Peter. I appreciate that number. But if we throw Ed O in there, what does that line change to?
Yeah, but he's not coaching. But if you did, I would say, I mean, you're still taking Pittman.
Wow.
Because at least with Pittman, you know at some point you're not going to get into some type of rumble. Like, I feel like Sam Pittman is more like, let's go out, boys. Let's have some fun. We'll barbecue, right? We'll take pictures on the boat. Like, it'll be a great time. With Ogeron, you have no idea what to expect. Like, so to me, I'm still, Ogeron's my guy. I'm still rolling with Sam Pittman there.
Let's stick with Ed Oge's former program. Why is it working with Kelly? Last year was kind of a free year, Peter, for Brian Kelly. It felt like a disjointed kind of fit when he went down there. It's very much not. He's going to win there. Why?
Because he's a CEO mentality, and I think that's what LSU's always had talent, guys. I mean, we saw that when Nick Saban brought them to the promised land in 2003. We knew that there was a lot of talent. He just got it out of them. And then LSU won a national championship with Les Miles, and they won one with O. But it was so roller coaster. I think for you look at Brian Kelly, and every time that I talk to him and every time I interview him or spend some time with him, he reminds me of when I talk to guys that are CEOs of corporations, where he's measured, there's a rhyme to a reason, he knows how to work a room, and he's just a very professional vibe. So I vividly remember the day that he was hired over at LSU. I had three or four people in our industry, especially in the SEC world, and two other coaches that said, damn. And I was like, well, wait a minute, what does that mean? And they go, because now LSU in a weird way almost has like a real super big grown-up that's going to corral this incredible talent and get them going in the right direction. We already saw that in year one.
Yeah, that's a great point you make there, and I also don't think he's going to take any timeouts after a punt like previous coaches at LSU may have. But anyway, that was a Les Miles reference for people that were unaware.
It was fun, though. I will tell you this, between the eating grass and Ogeron and the voice, I mean, I would not trade the last decade of chaos between Miles and Ogeron for anything. Now, I'm glad it's over, but I still would do it all again in a heartbeat.
SEC West, is it going to be Alabama that goes to Atlanta to play Georgia, or is it LSU for you, or is it someone else?
I think it's LSU. I think LSU, and the difference is, for me, not only do you have Jaden Daniels, which I know you weren't sold on when he was in Tempe, but I think that's changed because he's got a lot more talent around him. But I like the coordinator's position, right? I like the fact that you bring in Dimbrock, you got Matt House coming back. It's not only Alabama that doesn't have quarterback issues, and they're trying to figure that out, but they're also bringing in two brand-new coordinators. And I know that's not a huge change traditionally in Tuscaloosa because you kind of, quote-unquote, learn the Saban playbook. That's still a big change. So to me, it's LSU 1 in the West. It ends up being Bama slightly behind them. And I'm really intrigued with Texas A&M. I don't think they can win the West this year, but I do think they're being slept on because they've become such a kind of national kind of joke over the last couple of years, and a kind of a meme of underperforming, that I think that they'll overperform what at least Vegas thinks they'll do this year.
DraftKings says LSU 9.5. My assumption, Peter, you're going over regular season wins, 9.5. They'll get to 10 there?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's all the FSU game, right? It's going to be a top 10 matchup right off the bat. I think LSU is going to exact a little a revenge around the Seminoles this year. So, yeah, I think that they're a 10-2, if not 11-1 squad this year.
Great conversation, Peter Burns. Good job, man. We love listening to you on SiriusXM Channel 374, also ESPN Radio, and watching you on the SEC Network, SEC Now. Thanks, Peter. Appreciate it.
Thanks, boys. See y'all.
Thank you.
Now we can trash talk. He's gone. No, I'm just playing. At Peter Burns ESPN on Twitter, if you'd like to give him a follow. Good personality, good booking. When we return, one of the four. Let's start with Auburn next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's football season. Bettors know this is when the money's made. Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now's the time to become a VSiN subscriber and get our comprehensive college and NFL guides. Only VSiN subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats, power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. You can sign up for $199. Now remember, $199 gets you through the Super Bowl, gets you everything. Also, you can join to see if you like it for a month for as low as $19. VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. We're going to get to Auburn. We've got Johnny Avello joining us from the mothership and DraftKings. Can't wait to talk to Johnny, a legend in the game. Amal Shah, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Why don't we often don't talk about the unsung heroes here at VSiN. I heard Liz in my ear producing. Everybody downstairs doing a great job. But Dustin, you were saying during the break, we've got the best commercials in the sports betting game. James, Q, others, we should give a shout out here.
Yeah, I'm not sure who else is on that team, but like I normally, when I watch the network, I'm usually watching in playback mode. So I kind of go to the part that I need and I watch and had some of the commercials on. I don't know if these are new commercials, but like really blown away by how good they look. Like they're tremendous. I think I would pay for a subscription if I didn't work here.
Well, you should get YouTube TV, and we're prominently right there on the guide.
That's
YouTube
happening.
TV with VSiN. You should definitely get it. I love it. Now, we've got four teams we're taking a look at today with former first-round draft picks. Central Michigan, Auburn, Stanford, and Cal. Let's go to Auburn, since we were just talking to Peter about this, Amal. 5-7 last year, missed out on a bowl. I think that's the first time they missed a bowl since 2012. Here comes Hugh Freeze, who, remember, years at Ole Miss, he beat Bama twice in big spots. I talked about it a little bit earlier, 8 wins or more in all 4 seasons at Liberty. Auburn comes into the year, regular season win total over at DraftKings, 6.5. The under, you got to pay big time juice, so it's headed to 6 at -140. They're 35-1 in the SEC West. They've got 7 transfers that could start on offense. That just gives you an idea. I'll set you up there, but there's a lot of turnover. The two coaches I want to focus on, Hugh Freeze and also Philip Montgomery. He's the old Tulsa coach who knows offense. These two know offense. They're going to play fast. It's going to be exciting offensively on the Plains.
Hey, you're absolutely right about that. Peyton Thorne, if that name sounds familiar, comes in from Michigan State. Looks like he will potentially be the starting quarterback there. This is a team that it's going to be interesting. Robbie Ashford is the backup. I like Ashford's mobility and what he can give you in certain situations, Patrick, but he's a guy in terms of Thorne to pay attention to. I think simply because of his accuracy, he'll probably get the nod there. Then you go to the wide receiver. You bring in Jair Shorter from North Texas. And then, of course, this is a team that's going to need some consistency that you lose Tank Bigsby in that backfield. They bring in another player, Shane Hooks, from Jackson State in Ohio. Not necessarily household names for people, but the one thing we've seen with Hugh Freeze throughout his career, whether at Lambeau, whether at Arkansas first season, Ole Miss, Liberty, he's had one losing season in his entire collegiate career. He was 5-7 in his last year at Ole Miss. But I think things can get turned around very, very quickly. You mentioned Montgomery. Did a nice job at Tulsa. People would sit there and say, well, what did he win? The reality of it is Tulsa's a tough place to recruit to because you got guys going to the Big 12. You got some other schools that Texas guys spread out to. So a little bit of a challenge there. But we know one thing. Hugh Freeze can recruit and he can bring guys in and they're going to have an exciting offense and they're going to be challenging. We saw what they were able to do at Liberty. I think that only continues. And I'll tell you what, you can make the argument for certain leagues, the Big 10 East, whatever other division you want to make the argument for. The SEC West has Alabama, LSU, you've got Jimbo down in College Station, and now you bring in Hugh Freeze along with Sam Pittman at Arkansas. Man, this is a competitive league. Patrick, I tend to agree with Peter and you in terms of the 6.5 might seem a little bit optimistic for this team, but I think long-term, this is a great hire for this team, and they are going to challenge Alabama in about a year or two.
We can delve into the schedule. Let's bring the three of us up here. Let's talk about the offense. You mentioned Robbie Ashford, who started 9 games for him last year there at Auburn. Peyton Thorne, who... he's fine. I mean, he throws a good deep ball. Yeah. He can run a little bit. He's just fine. I watched him plenty at Michigan State. He's good. He's got a very good arm. He can throw a good deep ball. Coming out of spring, it does appear that Ashford had the edge, but my assumption is all along they wanted Thorne to start, so that's a little dicey. Johnson and Moore, 2 very good wide receivers return. They got 3 from the portal. Jarquez Hunter is a good running back. The problem on offense is a complete overhaul of the offensive front. But again, you mentioned Montgomery and Freeze. That offense is going to be very, very good. Ron Roberts comes over, big guy to run the defense. He ran Aranda's defense over at Baylor the last 2 years. Up front, they got a big-time transfer in Justin Rogers from Kentucky, who's a stud, will anchor that defense. Cam Riley, a very good linebacker. The secondary is their strength. They essentially return everybody. So Auburn set up okay. you know, again, 6.5 regular season win total. Can they get to 7? We'll pour through the schedule, but your overall take here, Dustin.
Well, Ron Roberts is a guy I know very well because he coached at Division II Delta State back in the early 2000s, and he had a bunch of dominant defenses in the Gulf South Conference, led by All-American linebacker Michael Eubanks. This guy is a psycho. His eyes are always bulging out of his face. He's the classic defensive coordinator, going to fit in great here on a Hugh Freeze staff that is fascinating to watch because I don't care who the players are. I firmly believe Hugh Freeze is capable of taking any Division I FBS caliber players on the offensive side of the ball and getting the most out of them. He got the most out of Ball Wallace. He got the most out of Malik Willis, who people are wondering if he's going to stick around in the NFL. Like, think about that. He is an offensive genius. He has tons of guys coming in who are going to lift up the talent level that he walked into at Auburn. I think they're an interesting team to watch in year one because I just believe that the way he speaks and coaches and teaches, that they're immediately going to hit the ground running offensively.
Big massage guy.
Among other things.
Here's the thing about Hugh Freeze and Auburn. It's impossible to start better than 3-3. So let's go through it. They open up at UMass, should be a win. They go to Cal. You hope it's a win if you're Auburn. Then Samford is a win. So let's just say they start 3-0. They then will proceed to lose 3 in a row. A&M, Georgia, and LSU.
You're sure they're losing to A&M?
What's that?
Are you sure they're losing to A&M?
They're going to College Station. They're going to A&M.
I just want to interject one thing on the Georgia game.
But you're right. Maybe not.
I think they're going to beat A&M, but I'm not saying they're going to beat Georgia. But I think it'll be a game where you look at taking the points because they'll get a large number. It's a huge rivalry game. That's the only thing I'll say in reference to that. They might cover the spread. They're not going to win the game.
It's just once they get to conference play, it's just so brutal. A&M, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Crossover with the East, they get Vandy, which ain't bad, but then Arkansas, and then they close out New Mexico State and Alabama. Good luck with that.
And yeah, they get
it's
to come
such
up for
a brutal
air.
Run.
They come up for air, then they have Arkansas. They come up for air again. They finish with Alabama.
It's brutal.
Guys, this under 6.5 is a good bet. The number should have been 6. How do they ever get to 7 wins to beat you on this prop? Real quickly, Alabama. You mentioned Georgia, LSU, and A&M losses. I think they lose at Jordan-Hare to Ole Miss. I think they lose in Fayetteville. That's 5 losses right there.
Is that as brutal of a 4-in-a-row stretch as there's going to be in college football this year? At A&M versus number 1 Georgia, at LSU, then versus Ole Miss?
Well, they do have a bye before the LSU game.
Okay.
I mean, Mississippi State, Vandy's a little bit of a respite, and then you go Arkansas, New Mexico State, okay, but then you close Alabama. Yeah, it's just brutal. It's brutal. It's an insane league. The division is wild, but I think he's going to do well there. 6.5, I mentioned it's trending to 6 because if you want to bet the under 6.5 over at DraftKings, you got to lay $1.40 to win $1. 6 wins in a bowl appearance would be a good year in year one. I'm sorry. It's just a bunch of transfers, specifically 7 potentially playing and starting on offense. This is because of the portal. The roster should be improved them all, but they're not quite there.
No, you mentioned the other thing that concerns me when you look at this defensive line. Justin Rogers comes in a transfer there along the defensive front. He comes in from Kentucky, which is not bad, an SEC player there. But, you know, Jalen McLeod comes in as well, a transfer, but from App State. We're used to, when you think of Auburn, those hogs that they got up front on that defensive front 4, they just have been lacking those type of tackles that they've had in the past that have really been run stoppers and run stuffers that make a huge difference. We saw Penn State last year just absolutely just destroy this team fairly comfortably. Guys, 5-7 seems like the number to me. If things break well, whether it's against Ole Miss or Mississippi State, they get to 6 wins. But I'm telling you, Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, LSU, and A&M, those are 5 losses right there.
Under. Big guy, what are you at right now as far as Auburn?
Alabama, Arkansas, do you sure miss your ma and pa? It's a song. I actually lean over. I think they're going to figure things out towards the end of the year, and they're going to be a really dynamic offense.
You think they're going 7-5.
You got them winning at A&M, correct?
Have them winning at A&M. Have them beating Ole Miss.
You didn't listen to Peter Sideburns when he said A&M could potentially win the SEC West?
Sure, Jimbo Fisher seems like a stable person.
He's got a natty. A lot of guys don't.
Jameis won the natty.
Would you like to sing the song on the way out before Johnny Avello?
Alabama, Arkansas, I sure miss my mom, pa, but something, something about you.
Sharp money.